when Pastor and his wife were up to visit us, he, of course, had just been recovering from a sports injury and was a little gimpy, but he got around all right. And we're staying at the Josephs, and she's got foot problems, so I don't know if there's a precursor to us coming that or something around us all of a sudden that causes problems, but if so, it's not intentional. But we had a good time fellowshipping then with them when they came. I've known a pastor and his wife since college. So, but you know, about 20 years. Somewhere around that. The memory's foggy sometimes, but it is good to be with you again, and to meet those who are here who've been around for a while, and to those who are new. It's always good when you come back to a church that you've been to and support you to see new people, and it's a blessing for that. And we look forward to tonight, this evening, sharing again about the ministry there, catching you up on what the Lord is doing, and a lot of the challenges and a lot of the exciting things that are going on, and we look forward to that. But this morning, I wanted to look in the passage we read that was read this morning, Acts chapter 1. We want to look at the Lost Commission. We're going to see today familiar passage. Many times I know as missionaries come through, they many times will use this passage. Pastors preach from this passage many times as well. And it is a tremendous passage of transition from the Gospel of Luke, which was the first part that was written, as was mentioned, and what was recorded there of the life of Christ and what he did, into this the record now of the historical record that Luke gives us of the spread of the gospel through the working of the Spirit, through the ministry of the apostles. And it starts here with, again, the former treatise I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And he starts again reminding him that this is all based upon the work of what Christ has done and what is supposed to flow from that in our lives as believers. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you again for your grace, your mercy, and your love. Thank you for saving me. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Spirit of God that you have given to us when we have been saved, to empower us and strengthen us to all that you will have us to do. Lord, strengthen us in your word this morning. Challenge us in your word. Lord, may your Spirit use it in our hearts to conform us to the image of your Son, to conform our actions to what you desire us to be doing. Lord, we would pray in Christ's name. Amen. In this first verse, we do see here in our outline the groundwork of our commission. And the groundwork of our commission is the life of Christ. Our salvation's preparation, which was done when Christ, the Son of God, came down and became human flesh, lived his sinless life. And then after living that sinless life, willingly gave himself to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have everlasting life, because that is the only way we can have everlasting life. And so he says, I wrote to you of all that Jesus began both to do, what he accomplished in his actions, and to teach, what he taught us. That's why we have that groundwork, as it was found in the Gospel of Luke. We're not going to go through the whole Gospel of Luke. But we know that contents of the Gospel, of the Gospels, that Christ came, that he died, rose again, and as he's ascended on high. And so we see here that there is a preparation that we have of being saved. When we look at the commission that God has given to us, it is first of all empowered by or given to those who have been saved, and the work that he has done for us through Jesus Christ. But then there's also an instructions equipping, because he says, until the day in which he was taken up from you through the Holy Ghost and had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, whom he had shown himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, having seen 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So he said here, it reveals to us that the Lord also taught and equipped them for what he had wanted them to do. He spoke to them and he's taught them all about his desires for the kingdom of God. It's interesting, sometimes we see here, he brings out that reference to the kingdom of God at the end of verse 3. And the first thing it tells us that Jesus preached about when he was on this earth was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You see, the Lord's mission, ministry, and message was all to point us, to guide us into the kingdom of God through salvation in Christ. And he then instructs the disciples in what they are to be doing as they are now to go forth and carry the gospel to the world. And so that's why he is giving these indications or speaking here in this introduction to the believers. He wants them to understand what they need to be doing pertaining to this. Verse 4, he goes and he says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, ye have heard of me. The promise, of course, refers to the Holy Spirit that would come. Because he said, John baptized with water, but ye will be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He wanted them to understand what was coming. Because the groundwork was in their salvation and instruction, he wanted them also to know and to understand what the power of that commission was going to be. And so in verse 5, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you. The knowledge of our promise. The promise to the disciples that they were going to have the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost would be given to them for specific purpose. Now, in the Gospel of John, when Christ spoke to them of the Comforter, he mentioned many things that the Holy Spirit would do, that he would come alongside them and be a comforter to them, that he would guide them into all truth, that he would glorify Jesus Christ, that the Spirit of God would do those things for them. And he initiates, or he speaks to them here of a promise that, again, the Spirit was going to come because he was going away. So as we see the power for this commission, the knowledge of that promise, but then the focus of the promise in verse 6. And when they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his power. See, he had said, you're going to have the Holy Spirit. And now they're saying, well, Lord, are you going to set up your kingdom now? You know, we know your kingdom, the kingdom of God, your kingdom, Lord. Is it now? Are you going to do it now? Are we ready to set this up? You've been crucified, and here you are. You're resurrected from the dead. We know you have eternal life in you. We know all that you can do, the proofs that you've shown. Is now the time you're going to set up the kingdom? But the Lord told them, that's not what you need to be focusing on. That's not for you to know right now. He says, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father hath put into his own power. He said, you are not to be concerned with this, of when my kingdom is going to be established. You're not supposed to be consumed with eschatological. Now, we like eschatology. We like prophecies. And you know, it's interesting. One of the areas sometimes, a lot of times, that the unsaved can be interested in are biblical prophecies of what's coming. How is it going to happen? And what is that going to be seen? And how is God going to work all that out? And we can sometimes get some people have entire ministries established simply on prophecies. And yet the Lord says, you're not supposed to be consumed with that. Now, it's nice to know, and it's good to figure out and have our eschatological theologies. Those things are fine and good and are an important part of us, but we're not to be consumed with the eschatology of things. figuring out the times and the seasons that the Lord is going to come again and when he's going to come. And you know, who is the Antichrist this year? They can always change. I tell people, one of my favorite cartoons I saw years and years ago, I read a comic, and it was a guy in a monk's, kind of a monkish robe, coming up to another monk and he had his scroll, and he said, look brother, I found out some important eschatological event, and it says, and the name of that beast shall be, and it said, Bill Clinton. And he looked at, oh. Then he looked at the text closer. He says, why is there a line through George Bush? You know, it was, all right, who is it going to be? And people can be consumed with who the Antichrist is and how that's... The Lord says, listen, it is not for you to know all of that, the times and the seasons of things. Now, we'll have from Scripture those indications, and we have, again, our eschatology, but it's not to be our consuming thing as believers. Because he says, he wants them to understand the unfolding of the promise of the Spirit. Was not so they could have an understanding of eschatology. It's not so they could be filled to rule and reign with the Lord right at that time. It is in verse 8 where he says, but you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. The promise of the Holy Ghost and the purpose of the Holy Ghost here, he emphasizes to them, is to empower them to be witnesses for him, to fulfill the commission to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, the Spirit of God came into you. You were baptized in the Spirit, and he indwells you. The Spirit didn't come in and baptize you and come into you and indwell you just because he was looking for some place to hang around. He was given to us to empower us to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know that. I don't think any of you just had a light bulb come on and said, wow, boy, Pastor, you just expounded something I never knew was in Scripture before. No, you know that. The problem is not in our knowledge, but the problem is in our completion of it, or the execution, or the actuation of what we know about the Spirit's purpose in our lives and doing it. And we must remember, we have been given that commission to take the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever we are. And that's why he delineates these different areas, whether it was Jerusalem or Judea, Samaria, or every place else in the earth, was that wherever we are, we're to remember to be a witness and a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the purpose for we each have as believers, and we need to remember that. And he doesn't mark down a retirement age in that verse. Doesn't say, well, after 30 years, if you've done it, that's enough. You don't need to be a witness anymore. He also doesn't give a minimum requirement. Said you got to wait till you're 18 years old before you can be a witness. Said you get saved, the Spirit of God comes into you, and you are then empowered by that Spirit so that you can be the witness that you need to be through the Spirit of God. He wanted them to understand that. And to know that that's what they were to be doing, being witnesses. It's interesting, right after he tells them that in verse 9, and when they had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heavens, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto him, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? We see here the direction declared, the point of our commission. The Lord was taken up right after he says, the Holy Ghost is going to come, and you're going to be empowered. And then up he goes. And they're looking up into heaven. And as they're gazing up into heaven, and whether they're gazing, waiting, okay, you know, Newton, What'll go up? Will it come down? It's going to come back. You know, how soon is this coming back going to be? We're waiting. And the men appear to him and said, why are you gazing up into heaven? The Lord, he said that Jesus is going to come back again, just as he did. In this manner that you have seen him go into heaven. You just need to go and wait. So they went. Wait, it's interesting when they said they're gazing up into heaven, that when Christ was on the earth, what was his challenge to his disciples? Look on the fields. They're white already on the harvest. Lift up your eyes and see the need. Many times as believers and in churches, we can begin to get ourselves too focused. We can get ourselves focused on our church and our fellowship together. And there's nothing wrong with our churches having our fellowship together as believers. But we must remember that as we enjoy our fellowship together and are encouraged to gather together and hear the Word of God and teach the Word of God and be together and build each other up in our faith, that we are also given the command that we are to look on the fields that are white to harvest, that we are to go and take that gospel to others. It's easy too many times for us as believers to become comfortable in our church fellowships and stop looking at the lost around us. And we don't want to lose that commission that God has given us to gaze out upon the fields and to go to reach those people with the gospel of Christ. A lot of the newer movements, it seems, in some of the areas of Christianity, and I'm not going to go and delineate all the things, you know, that people are getting caught up in. But it seems like more of the things that churches are beginning to emphasize are turning themselves away from the need of the lost and more to, we want to do what we want and feel what we want here. We recently had a young couple that started attending church, visited. They came, they were related to someone else in our church, and they came and visited and have been coming faithfully and want to join and be part of our ministry, and we're rejoicing in that. And as I was talking with them, they were sharing that they'd been around to different churches in our area. And they had been involved in, actually been in one for 2 years. It was probably one of the larger churches, one of the more up-and-coming, you know, fancy, hip kind of places to be. And as they were there, they said, yes, you said, you know, we were there for 2 years. You said, and I don't know that we really ever heard them preaching the gospel. Matter of fact, she said, we were talking with another lady who's gone to that church for quite some time, and I was just talking to her about the Lord and, you know, being saved and knowing the Lord, and she kind of looked at me with a puzzled look about, well, what do you mean, you know, by knowing the Lord? You know, I mean, we're all kind of here at church. We all must be knowing the Lord because we're all here. What are you talking about? She didn't have that understanding. And if you are not encouraging your people in the service of the church, in the gospel of Christ, of what the gospel of Christ is, how are they going to know they're supposed to take it to anybody else if they don't know they're supposed to be hearing it, knowing it? But there's a lot going on. And we must be careful that we don't lose our vision and our the importance of the commission that God has given us to take the gospel. And we say, yeah, well, that's right. That's the way they are in those kinds of churches. We're not like that, though. Because we're good. We're sound. We're strong. We're faithful. Well, it's good. But you know what? There are people in those sound, strong, faithful churches that can also lose the look for on the fields that are white unto harvest, as they begin to concentrate too much on what's going on in the house. Never let that be a case here in this ministry. Let that not be a case in your heart as a believer, that you cease to think and to look on the lost around you and the needs that they have for the gospel. have the burden that the Lord had as he looked on the people, and he was moved with compassion. They were as a sheep having no shepherd. A lot of times when we walk with the Lord and we're seeking to live holy, righteous, and godly lives because we serve a righteous, holy God, and that's good. We're supposed to have that attitude. But sometimes we look out on the lost that are out there and we say, oh, I just don't want, they're so dirty. We don't look at the thing that they are, the people that they are. We need to remember to look at the need that they have in Christ. They are as lost sheep having no shepherd. And that should be a burden to us and should drive a compassion in us to want to win the lost, to share the gospel with them. Don't lose the burden of the commission that God has given us to be a witness and a testimony for him. Our direction is declared. We're not supposed to be gazing up into heaven, so to speak, being so heavenly minded we don't look around us. Now again, you know I'm not saying that we don't think on the glory of God and the wonders of heaven and the glory of who he is. And you know that that's not what I'm saying. But he was telling that those men said, stop gazing into heaven, get your eyes back ready for the work that's coming, because that promise is going to come. Yes, the Lord is coming again, because you know he does want us to know in our commission that our fellowship is secured with him. As he's gone, so he is coming again. He will come again, as he said, and receive you unto himself. If you tarry till the Lord's coming, he'll take us to him. If we die before he comes, we know that being absent from our body, we're present with the Lord. We know that fellowship is secure. And our fellowship of believers is good and should be strong in our love. But listen, we cannot let our eyes be closed to the lost around us. People want to live more and more for themselves. Believers want to be more and more comfortable in their lives with what they have and what they want to do. And it turns their minds more to what I like and what I want and what I desire, and not what are the needs of the lost around me. We need to lift up our eyes onto the fields that are white to harvest. And we need to remember that the Lord has said, the Holy Spirit is in you so that you can be a witness to me. So you can have the power to be that witness. Your missions program sends missionaries around the world so that they can fulfill that great commission through the power of the Spirit. Constantly remind yourselves as well that the Lord has given you the Spirit of God to indwell you, to empower you to be a witness. To be a witness. To be a witness. We can look at the lost around us and think, well, and we can look at a lot of churches that have forsaken the gospel of Christ. Yeah, they don't really have a burden for the gospel. They don't really care about truly what they don't have a right stand on salvation. We've got the right stand and right purpose and the right ideas. We just have to make sure we have the right obedience in executing what God has given us to do, to be a witness to those around us. Whether it's family, neighbors, co-workers, friends, whatever it may be, to remember the need that they have spiritually. Yes, we want to come and worship the Lord in a proper way and in a right way in our church services and the gathering together of this local fellowship. But then are we really worshiping him in an honest way if we are not also fulfilling the commission he has given us? Don't lose the commission. Continue to be a witness of Christ. Share that gospel with others that they may hear and know that Jesus saves. That's what he gave you the Spirit for, to empower you to do that. And that's when you were saved, that's you know, but what we say is that, you know, one of the reasons we're still on this earth after we're saved is to be a witness for him. Because he left his disciples when he went to heaven so that they could then receive the power to be the witness. Well, we're here as we've received the Holy Spirit to have power to be the witness of the gospel of Christ. Don't lose the commission. Don't look at others, other organizations of Christianity, churches, say, yep, they've gotten away from the gospel, and then refuse to be one who will give the gospel. You know what God desires for you. Will you fulfill that? As you keep the commission. Whenever that time came when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you were born again. The Spirit of God entered into you at that instance. And then the Lord said, "You shall be witness for me wherever you go." Will you be that witness? Don't lose the commission he has given us to do. Be a witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I want to thank you for your love. I want to thank you for the truth of your word. The message, Lord, was, we looked at this passage, was to look again just swiftly and succinctly at the main focus of the record given here. As you, Lord, were imparting to your disciples that they were going to be witnesses, and Lord, all that follows in the book of Acts is the recording of the actual working of the Spirit through those disciples to see your gospel go forth. Well, Lord, it's an example of us today because we are your children, your followers, your disciples. And we have your Spirit as well. And we are to be those who will then go forth and be witnesses of that gospel. Lord, may that always, again, be an emphasis in the lives of believers in this ministry, to be witnesses to the lost. We don't leave the other things undone. We stand for your truths. We build each other up in the faith. We exhort each other, encourage each other in Christ. We seek to and desire to live holy lives that please you and honor you. We're purifying ourselves. We name the name of the Lord, so we'll depart from iniquity. And all those things are part and parcel of our spiritual walk as we seek to be more Christ-like. But Father, we are always to remember that as we seek to be more Christ-like, how can we then seek to refuse to be Christ-like in our burden to see the lost have the gospel of Christ? Strengthen us, Lord, that we will fulfill your mission as we continue to grow in your grace and to witness that grace to the lost around us. Help each believer here this morning, Lord, that they will not lose the commission, but will continue to strive to be that witness for Jesus Christ. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Pastor.